bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
And salute while we play the Redneck National Anthem.
Redneck, don't give a darn, a redneck. Raised on a farm, I'm a redneck. I'm a six-pack king, I'm a redneck. Just be doing my thing, a redneck.
It's a redneck country cowboy state of mind.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
If you wanna have a go,
Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
All right, here we are. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. It's the 14th of September, and Amy had a bunch of good birthdays and stuff for today. I've got one I'm going to share with you here in a little while. Won't bother you with it right away here. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I spent, we spent our time, let's see, Saturday we went out, and we had a firewood gathering deal for the church. For the community. A lot of the guys from the church were out there. As a matter of fact, this was advertised as a community deal, and a couple of other churches said they'd get on board, and this was a great idea. And as it turns out, not one of them showed up. So we had probably, there was probably 16, 18, maybe 20 of us out there. We were out there about 5.5 hours and brought back 17 cords of wood. So we have, now you gotta remember that this is not your average guy with a 14-inch McCullough chainsaw and that don't know how to sharpen it and everything. Everybody out here, pretty experienced woodmans. We had a guy out there that was, he was definitely what you call a professional. He was working in the woods. He said he used to have a saw with an engine from a Yamaha 250 motorcycle. He said you actually put the saw on the ground, kickstart it, and that had to have been a freaking monster to run. But anyway, we got talking about different saws, and it was a very interesting weekend. But we hit it hard early, had a big biscuits and gravy breakfast down at the church, and got out there. Now, we went out Friday night after the radio show. No, it was before the radio show. I got back in time for the radio show. So you already know, Friday night we went out and dropped a bunch of trees. We wanted to put them down the ground before all the kids and dogs and everybody else got out there on Saturday. So then we got out and we filled up two big dump bed trailers, and they were roughly stacked high. You might squeeze 6 cords in each one of them. And all I had was my pickup bed trailer and my pickup, so we brought probably maybe a cord out of there, or a little hair more. And then there was a couple of other trailers and pickups and stuff. Anyway, brought 17 cord back out of there. Mountain Shooter, I'm using a still. Now I have a still and a Husky. I take my little Husky out there as a backup in case I need to, if I got some cutting I need to do and don't have time to sharpen my big saw. It's not a big saw. It's just bigger than the Husky. Not nearly as big as what I run up in Idaho when we was up there, but it does the job. It's only got a, I don't know, maybe a 26-inch bar on it or something like that. The one I had up in Idaho was a 30-inch. And it was pretty horsey. But I like steel saws, and I like Huskies pretty good. I don't like McCulloch's. Not a big fan of, what's the green one? Poland. I think not a fan of those either. But Husky and Steel are absolutely my favorites if you're out there working hard in the woods. Anyway, we brought in a lot of wood. We're probably going to go out again either the 19th next weekend or the 26th. I'm not sure which. And do it again. We've still got quite a few trees on the ground up out there that we need to get up there and take care of. So, all right, enough of that. Let me start out by checking this. Okay, that is a non-event. So let me start out with reminding you that, hey, Ray, good to see you in here. Yeah, we did get a lot of work done. We got quite a bit of work done. There wasn't any messing around. Kids got out there and got involved. We had we dropped everything in such a way that we could back up to it with trailers, you know, right on a skid trail. So an older skid trail, and worked out pretty well. We had Saturday morning, we had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. We had probably eight guys in there with saws, good saws. And then we had quite a few others and a lot of the youth in there carrying it and putting it in the trailers and stacking it. So yeah, we put a heck of a bunch of wood in there. All right. So let me remind you again, our Arms Expo getting closer and closer, Restoring America's Heritage coming up just about a month from now, 16th, 17th, and 18th of October. We have quite a few people that have committed to being here. We got some vendors, we got some trainers, we got speakers. I'm working on a couple of different angles for some good music. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully it'll help also to educate some people in the way of liberty is what the whole thing is all about. And I suppose most of you know now that Liberty for All now has a new chapter going here in Arizona, and we have divided Liberty for All up into two regions, and we have Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, and Southern California below Sacramento in the Arizona region, and Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and California north of Sacramento in the northern region, in the Washington region. So we're growing and moving right along, and we're hoping that hoping this takes off as well as I think it will. It's going pretty good. We've got we're working on several different things, working on a website, working on I showed you the website the other day. Still got a ton of work to do to it, and I'm going to try to get some of it done this week. And the Facebook pages and all kinds of stuff going on here. So keep up with us if you can. We're moving pretty fast. All right. This is an interesting deal here. I'm going to get to that birthday I told you about here in a second. But here's... I love this. Here's a guy in New Jersey. He is the head, meaning the top dog, of the Counterterrorism Task Force. Now, understand what I'm saying here. He's a civilian working in counterterrorism for the Department of Defense. He is the numero uno dude. Well, he's been denied his carry permit by the state of New Jersey. They said he had no justifiable need. Okay, well, let's just move on, because I am absolutely speechless. I have no words. So even though the National Counterintelligence and Security Center and the FBI have warned victims of the Office of Personnel Management hack, the Tuminelli included, Tuminelli's the guy of the name, Michael Tuminelli, that terrorists might target them, New Jersey still did not find that threat to be enough to justify his carrying a gun in the Garden State. Works for the Department of Defense. He's the counterterrorism boss. But, okay, well, just color me as clueless. I haven't a clue. I have no idea. I don't know what they're thinking. The assistant prosecutor, the Sussex County Prosecutor's Office, said in her denial of the permit that he had not demonstrated an urgent necessity for self-protection as evidenced by specific threats or previous attacks which demonstrate a special danger to his life that cannot be avoided by means other than the issuance of a permit to carry a handgun. But she kind of neglects to identify what those other means are, or to avoid, you know, so I'm guessing maybe moving out of New Jersey and seeing if you could get run the terrorism task force from somewhere else to counter terror. I don't know. Alrighty then. Well, moving right along. I swear that's stupid as stupid gets right there. So, oh, look what my wife brought me. Here, you can just set it right there. That'll work. Thank you. Yeah, I guess you guys know what's going to happen here in a minute, huh? You're going to have to listen to a song. Thank you very much, beautiful wife. All right, yeah. That smells good. You may have to listen to that song earlier than I thought. We do have several rather goofy things to talk about here tonight. And if I could keep my deal from running away with me here where I could find them all. Now, this story here, I'm going to do this one. And I was going to let Amy do this, but I decided it'd probably fit more on the shooting bench. This is just about as retarded as the one we just talked about. Hey, Thunder 57, glad to see you in here again. And all of the regulars also, absolutely. Every one of you, all the time. Let me scroll up here and see what's going on in the chat room. Okay. All right, here's a... And this woman, let me just tell you, the boy at school snapped a little girl's bra, okay? And is it sexual assault? Well, you know what? We used to do that quite often. It was a different world, different time, different people. I look back at it now, and probably it was as inappropriate then as it is now. Especially the way this woman describes it. This is a student that stands up for her rights, refuses to be bullied. When mom gets to the school, she lit into him. And this gal is an emergency room nurse. They're not allowed to have their phones on them. They're supposed to be kept in their locker. So a call comes into the hospital reception line on a private line for this woman, the girl's mother. And the phone said, you know, this is a teacher from the school. There's been an incident involving your daughter. We need you to come in. Is she ill? Is she hurt? Can it wait until my shift's over in 2 hours? No. Your daughter has struck another student. We've been trying to call you for 45 minutes. It really is very serious. So she goes to the school. She's ushered into the principal's office. Sees her daughter, her advisor, a male teacher, the principal, and a boy with blood around his nose and a red face, and his parents. Principal says, how kind of you to finally join us. The lady says, yeah, things get busy in the ER. I've spent the last hour administering over 40 stitches to a 7-year-old who was beaten by his mother with a metal ladle, and then I had to deal with the police regarding the matter. Sorry for the inconvenience. After watching him try not to act embarrassed, he tells me what's happened, or the lady what's happened. The boy had snapped my daughter's bra, and she punched him in the face. Twice. I got the impression they were more angry with my daughter than the boy. And so the lady said, now here's where you need to start listening. She, let's see, let me find it again. I was checking the chat room there. She says, oh, and you want to know if I'm going to press charges against him for sexually assaulting my daughter and against the school for allowing it to happen. Is that it? So they all get a little jittery about this time with the mention of sexual assault and start speaking all at once. Teacher said, I don't think it's that serious. Advisor says, let's not overreact. Principal said, I think you're missing the point. And the boy's mother starts crying. Shut up. I turned to my daughter to find out what happened. Daughter said, he kept snapping my bra. I asked him to stop, but he didn't. So I told the teacher, and he told me ignore it. The boy did it again and undid my bra, so I hit him. And then he stopped. Now let me pause right there for just a second. Remember when my son got in a fight with a kid protecting another kid in what was it, fifth grade? And the principal told me, when I went and picked him up, told him let's go to Dairy Queen and get some ice cream. The principal said, violence does not solve anything. Here is yet another of millions of incidents where violence solved something. She tried to solve it peacefully. She told the teacher, and the teacher said, yeah, just ignore it. It's no big deal. Just being a boy. That's what they do. So what? He did it one more time, and she nailed him. So the woman turns to the teacher and said, you let him do this? Why didn't you stop him? Come over here and let me touch the front of your trousers. What? No. Oh, does that seem inappropriate to you? Why don't you go on and pull on Mrs. Advisor's bra right over there right now? See how fun it is for her. Or on that boy's mother's bra. How about that? Or mine. You think just because they're kids it's fun? Principal said, with all due respect, your daughter still beat another child. No. She defended herself against a sexual attack from another pupil. Look at them. He's nearly 6 feet and 160 pounds. She's 5 feet and 84 pounds. He's a foot taller than her and twice as heavy. How many times should she have let him touch her? If the person who was supposed to help and protect in her classroom couldn't be bothered, what should she have done? He pulled her bra so hard it come undone. At this time, the boy's mother's still crying, and his dad looks both angry and embarrassed. The teacher won't make eye contact with me. I look at the principal. She said, I'm taking her home. I think the boy has learned his lesson. I hope nothing like this ever happens again, not only to my daughter, but to any other girl in this school. You wouldn't let him do it to a member of staff, so what makes you think you can do it to a girl as 15 years old is beyond me. I will be reporting this to the school administrators, and if you, turning to the boy, ever touch my daughter again, I will have you arrested for sexual assault. Do you understand me? I was so angry, I gathered my daughter's things and left. I reported to the school board, and several of whom I know, and was assured that it would be strongly dealt with. My daughter was put in another class for that subject, away from the teacher and the boy. So, in thinking about it in those terms, then I suppose that for all the times that boys did that as a kid, when I was a kid, Yeah, looking at it like that, it was, like I said, it was a different time, different age, different everything. It doesn't make it right. When she explains it that way, definitely wrong thing to do. And I think she took care of it rather well. Okay, well, you know what coming up now, right? Amy has brought me something delicious. I know it's delicious on account I can smell it. So I think what we're going to do here is I'm going to pick out, something good here. How about this one? No, how about this one? No, how about that one? No, this one is good. Wow, we got too many of them. How about this one right here? All right, I'll be back. We'll be right back.
must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
Folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
Okay, we're back. Where was I at? All right, I guess you guys heard the story about the, this was over in, where was it, Egypt or somewhere in the great Holy Land of the Muslims. They had a crane collapse over there. Crane, and this was actually on 9/11. I thought that was interesting. But the crane collapsed in the world's holiest mosque. It's really holy now. It had a crane go through the roof. But the world's holiest mosque, 107 worshiping Muslims dead, hundreds more injured. And I can't find my little sound bite thing that says I love it when a plan comes together. But anyway, one of those things. They claim lightning hit it and knocked it down. Fell into the mosque and wiped a bunch of them out. And probably that's not entirely the most Christian thing to say. But I guess I could pull my mic down here. Maybe you didn't hear it. But it is what it is. And that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Okay, now I had let me get back over here and find a discussion that I had today with some folks. And this is all leading somewhere. It's all going someplace. It's going to take me a minute here to get it dug up. And it has to do with the gal in, Kentucky. We're not going to go into any more whether she's right or wrong or anything. The gal that Kim Davis, the anti same-sex marriage clerk gal. Well, she's kind of back to square one, so the story says. She's going to go to work and they're going to try to decide what she's supposed to do. She's out of jail. I think she spent like 5 days in jail. 3 or 5 days, I don't remember. And so, what's she going to do?
Kim Davis, the embattled county clerk in Kentucky, is returning to work today. But will she stop her deputies from issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples? Davis spoke to reporters just a few moments ago. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in Moorhead, Kentucky. Gabe, good morning.
Chanel, good morning. Kim Davis's supporters have been here outside the Rowan County Courthouse since early this morning to see what she would do next. And just a few minutes ago, Davis spoke to reporters.
I want the whole world to know, be no mistake about it, that if my deputy clerks, who do not have my authorization or the authority, they don't have my authority to issue any license whatsoever. I love my deputy clerks, and I hate that they have been caught in the middle. If any of them feels that they must issue an unauthorized license to avoid being thrown in jail, I understand their tough choice, and I will take no action against them. However, any unauthorized license that they issue will not have my name, my title, or my authority on it. Instead, the license will stay.
So Kim Davis will not stop her deputy clerks from issuing those licenses, but she says they are not valid. However, the county attorney and the governor's office had previously said they were valid. So this legal battle is clearly not over.
Chanel. Continues. All right. Thank you, Gabe.
Interesting stuff. Volume is a little low on that. Hopefully you can hear it. But they said she's got a few choices. How does she stop them from doing that if she decides to stop them? She's going to call a meeting of some kind, fire them, or just be quiet. She said the spokeswoman for the ACLU of Kentucky said, "We hope Ken Davis will just follow the law and obey court orders." And they keep going with that. Court orders, like I said, courts issue opinions. But anyway, if she doesn't, our attorneys will meet and decide our next action. Let's see, Kim Davis is the only person that can decide what Kim Davis will do, said one of her attorneys. She has told the court and everyone else that she will not, under any circumstances, violate her conscience or the core of who she is. All right, good for her. I have no problem with that. So anyway, got into a discussion here on Facebook. And the guy whose page it is here said, "Kim Davis, do your job or resign already. You're nothing more than a hypocritical, white trash, Bible-thumping homophobe. Your 15 minutes are up." I'm assuming he's referring to your 15 minutes of fame there. And so the first guy that responded to that said, "And then some." And the next gal, woman, said she should be fired and not praised. And the next one said, "She looks like Dick Cheney with the wig and boobs. Maybe Caitlin will take her under his or her wing. Tired of both B words already." So now it's time for me to jump in. I said, "So what makes all of you any better?" And the guy whose page it was says, "This B word has hate in her heart, for starters." And I said, "Oh, and you don't?" He said, "Not nearly at the level she obviously does. I'm a firm believer in live and let live. This POS clearly isn't." I said, "So if I understand you right, a lesser degree of hate is okay." He said, "No hate is okay, and I try daily to improve myself. I have no hate for a group of people as this turd does." And I said, "No hate for a group of people other than the ones that you perceive as hypocritical, white trash, Bible-thumping homophobes. Thanks for clearing that up for me." He said, "I don't hate her. I think she's misguided and stupid. I pity her." Okay, I'm still going somewhere with this. That was an interesting little discussion there. But one of the things that we have a problem with in keeping patriot groups together, militias, any type of, almost any type of activist group. Now, what I have a problem with here is, why is it us? Why is it the conservatives? Why is it the patriots that cannot keep their groups together? Is it because we're all type A personalities? Why is it? Are there no type A personalities at all on the left? They don't seem to have a problem finding, at times anyway, thousands of people to get together for protesting this or that or the other thing. So somebody tell that anonymous right there to refresh. He's lost his audio there. And so, you know, that's right, Mountain Shooter. God will judge. That's one of the points to make here. And so one of the several things that I'm worried about when the poop hits the fan is we have a great many people out there that, as this guy does, claims to be a God-fearing Christian, yet talks about other people the way that he does. Now, I guess I'm one to be talking, but I usually talk about Muslims that way. But and there are a number of people out there that I've talked about being less than intelligent and whatnot. And what I'm worried about is, and we've already seen this a number of times. We've seen it with clashes between Oath Keepers and LFA, or Oath Keepers and other militias, or militias and LFA, or you know, whatever, any number of different types of groups there. And it's because we all think we have a difficult, and this is one of the things that impressed me so much with LFA, is those people can get together in a room and say, okay, here's what we got going on, here's what we need to do to fix it, let's find out what everybody thinks about it. So even if they don't agree on everything, if it's passed, and when something is put to a vote and it's passed, there is no argument about it. You don't get up and storm out mad. Okay, well, maybe they will for a few minutes, but they get together and say, okay, all right, we're done with this now. This is the way it's going to be. It's been voted on, and here it is. And once that calms down, then that becomes the new norm, the new standard, whatever the case may have been that they were talking about. So what happens is everybody in a lot of these groups thinks they're right, and there is no compromise. You know, I don't agree with what you're doing. We're not doing it that way. Okay, hell with all of you. I quit. I'm leaving. Instead of saying, look, is there some way that we can make this work for all of us here? We have, let's say, 9 people, you know, 27 people here that agree with this, and 3 that don't. Or 5 that don't, or 1 that don't. So what do you do? Do we have to sit and spend all afternoon trying to convince the other 3 that we're right? No. It's been voted on. Here's how it's going to be. And maybe a short discussion of why the discussion usually starts during or before the voting. When the voting is done, so is the issue. Because these people get together and they are mature, they're intelligent, they're logical, and, okay, now we're done. Let's move on to the next topic. Okay, how cool is that? But that doesn't seem to happen. Nan, you're right. The maturity has a lot to do with it. Egos have a lot to do with it. Emotions have a lot to do with it. Absolutely. So there's... I wanted to... Another birthday here that... there's another birthday here I want to talk about. And there's, his name was James Wilson. Some of you may have heard him. He was one of the founding fathers that signed the Declaration of Independence, one of the original justices that was appointed by George Washington to the Supreme Court. He had a quite a background in law that made him probably one of the most crucial framers of the Constitution. This is the part right here. He didn't agree with all of the document, but he pushed hard for its adoption. He said it wasn't all just exactly like he wanted it. There may have been some changes he wanted to make, but it was the best thing they had to offer, and a whole bunch of other people thought it was okay. So he says, I need to get to work and make sure that this gets passed. So that's just kind of what I was wanted to throw in there. And we need to try to somehow these patriot groups. And it's been that way with the militia forever, I guess. Or at least it didn't appear that it was that way as much back in 1775. But it is that way now. There are very few out there, very, very, very damn, very, very few, like not very many at all, groups out there whose leader says, okay, I understand. I'm not doing a very good job. Why don't I give this over to somebody else? You guys don't like it, so let's just turn it over. Or let's take a vote on it. Or that they have it in their rules already to allow for their removal if the need should arise. People get in a militia and they say, you know, this is my militia and we're going to do it this way. If you don't like it, don't join or get out. It's my militia. I have a problem with that. I have a real problem with a man that says, this is my militia. I started it. I'm the boss. And if you don't like it, you can pack up your crap and get out of here. Take your toys and go home. Go find someplace somebody else to play with. And fortunately, our group has been together for all together, counting New Mexico time, let's see, 16 years, I think. I think it was 1999. May have been 1998. I think it was 99. Nah, it may have been the end of 98, by golly. End of 98 or the very beginning of 99. So 16, 17 years somewhere near that we've been together. And I wish that we could have more cohesion in these groups. And I think we'd get a whole lot more done. But I guess one of the problems is a lot of the people that go up here and assume command of their militia is... you know, a good many of them that they don't necessarily have taken the initiative, as I would call it, to do it. What they have done is seize the opportunity to be in charge of something, to be the boss, when many times maybe they couldn't do it in... they're couldn't do it in their civilian life, in their workforce, in their whatever, that they couldn't be in the position that they wanted to be in, that they felt that they needed to be in. Now, we just had a listener just text me and says, why don't many of our side show up for demonstration and stuff? Because they're too busy working and collecting checks. You know, and that's a good point. And then this is another thing that I have thought so much about, or so admirably towards LFA, is that job or no job, when something comes up and they need to move out and address it, they just do it. They left at 1 o'clock in the morning to drive for 3 hours to take down a red Chinese flag flying at the Washington State Capitol building. They left at 1 o'clock in the morning, arrived at 4, the flag come down at 7. And whatever, now some of the, a couple of the former members were not interested in taking any risk of that magnitude, and didn't make it, but the core of the group was there and dealt with it. And the same thing happened in Spokane in Idaho, where the veteran had his Second Amendment rights taken away, and they were actually going to go to his home and take his guns away. They already told us they were going to do that, and then they changed their mind after a couple of hundred people showed up there with guns and said, no, actually, you're not going to go in there and take this man's guns away. He is within his rights. He is abiding by the law, and you're not. So you can pack your stuff up and go home. Yeah, Peanut Rider, yeah, I know what you're saying. People on the right do have to earn a living. I understand that. I get it. But what we're going to have to start doing, guys, understand here, the fuse has been lit, and it's been burning for a little while. You're going to get up here one morning in the not-too-distant future, and you're not going to have a job. You may not even have a building to go to. I mean, you may not, you know, something. We say, okay, well, I can't go because I'm earning a living. Well, I've seen people in action in the last year that have said, you know, if I must, I'll find another job when I get back. But this has to be done, and it has to be done now. It can't wait till after work. Now, that is a extraordinarily foreign concept to most people. Would you really jeopardize your career to go on one of these missions? Well, I know men and women that have done that in the last year. Some bosses are not gonna see it that way, and they're gonna fire you. Others will be more sympathetic and make allowances for it. Either way, folks, we're just about at a crossroads here. We're standing right near the edge where we're going to have to make some of these big decisions, where we see that the job is not as important as the the results of, you know, the risk versus reward thing is exactly what we're talking about here. Eddie's got a good point. Without your freedom, you don't have the freedom to work where you want to. Well, that's a good point. If we all of us say, okay, we all of us can't go until after 5, and we have to be back before 9 o'clock in the morning, we're not going to accomplish a hell of a lot. We're going to go up and make a little tiny splash and a little ripple in the water instead of forming a tidal wave that washes away tyranny. That tidal wave needs to be forming now. I'd still like to believe that if enough people got together across the nation, I'll always want to believe this, that if enough people got together, armed, okay, I'm fine, be armed. I think it's a great thing, wonderful thing. But peaceful as long as possible. I still am of the belief that we can turn this around, but it's not going to happen with the ones that have garages to clean, lawns to mow, birthdays to attend, and jobs that they can't leave for a few hours or a couple of days. Until people realize that we are at that crossroads, until they realize what the potential consequences are for doing nothing, then we deserve everything that we get. There's a quote, and I've used it numerous times. And I want to talk about the very end of this quote now, and you've heard it before. And the guy says, and how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family? Or if during periods of mass arrests, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror every time the bang of the downstairs door and at every step on the staircase, but had understood that they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was at hand. The organs would quickly have ground to a halt. The organs would quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt. Here, this last part right here is the part that we need to understand. He said, we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterwards. So there you have it. That is the last couple of sentences there is the whole thing. All that in a bag of chips. C7's posting a show here. I don't remember which one it was. I'll have to go check it out. It says, I don't know if the Washington group was here then. Fast forward past the first break and listen to the most informative show. I'll have to go check on that and see which one you're talking about. That was May of this year. Yeah, several of the Washington group was here then. Several of the Washington group actually tuned in prior to December of 14. That was before I went to the rally in Olympia with a vast amount of the finest patriots I've ever seen. And we had a few that started making it pretty regular in here late in 2014. After the rally in Olympia, our ranks have swelled a little. We have a lot of people that listen. I get texts and emails and stuff from people that either can't, don't want to, or can't figure out how to get on the chat. Or a lot of them are working and can't get on, or whatever the case may be. So, anyway, that's enough. I'm starting to babble, and you know what happens when I babble. All right, one more thing before I go. I got an email from a listener. When was it? I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago, and it had to do with the new ruling, I guess, in the chat room. And they were kind of confused about what the new rule is and everything, what was meant by objectionable material. I don't want to overthink this too much, and I don't want to make it worse than it is. And I'm above all, I don't want to sit down and write word-for-word rules of how you are to conduct yourself in the chat room. I think that people are, I'd like to hope that the listeners are mature enough and educated enough that, you know, I think we got a little out of hand a time or two, and we got it resolved. There are some words and phrases and types of things that we don't, you know, you can refer to George Carlin's 7 words and pretty well have it taken care of. What my biggest concern is sexually explicit things and blatant, obvious insults and ridicule and stuff like that. We don't see much of that. I'm just telling. I'm not saying that it happened. I'm saying that we need to just see that it doesn't. If we start looking at, okay, you can't put this word down because we know what it means, but you didn't fill in all the letters. Well, you know, people say that somebody is, that's a bunch of BS. Is that no different than that? So we can't, I don't want to disguise sexually explicit words and put them in the chat room. There are some words that somebody said, well, they're commonly accepted because they've been used for so long. Well, they're not commonly accepted to me. Although I will also say that while there are kids in the chat room from time to time, and this is for the most part a family channel, it's not a kids channel. We know that there are kids in here, and we don't want to make a big deal out of it. We don't want to put things in there that puts ideas in their little heads, you know what I mean? And I think that most of you, hopefully all of you, there are certain things that you would not say or do in front of your own grandmother, mother, daughter, small son. I hope that most of you have that degree of respect and common sense. I'd like for you to treat this chat room the same way. All of us get a little passionate with the way we talk sometimes. If you cannot express yourself without dropping an F-bomb, then you probably should get off the internet and off of Facebook and maybe go back to school and learn a little bit more about how to express yourself. It can be done. All of us will push it to the limit sometimes when we're really mad, when we're really upset, we're really frustrated. But there are still ways to say certain words without being too ugly about it. Okay? There you go. Tampa Ghost Scout has kids pretty frequently in here. We used to have, and I don't know if they still are, I do know that they listen still, some people in Ohio that had two kids that listened pretty regularly. Had a guy in New Mexico that listened when I was on AM radio that had a couple of kids that listened very regularly. So we'd like for those kids to be welcome and be able to understand this without being... no, many, pretty much all the news articles are not off limits. A lot of the things that are the kind of things that we look at are on television. They're in newspapers. They're everywhere. By not putting them on the shooting bench doesn't mean that we're going to keep them from it. You don't see articles and links to porn sites and whatnot out there. So one of the topics that came up was about abortion. Well, abortion is a timely American, a timely world topic. As evil and ugly as it is something that needs to be addressed. There are things, if they are, I would think that most of the kids, there's a difference, I think, in my mind, in posting links that a lot of the kids will have to, there's a buffer there in there somewhere where the parents hopefully have at least a little bit of control over the kids. And they're getting on the computer and whatnot. And being able to see or hear something instantly with no buffer on the chat room. So, and I don't want to beat this to death. It ought to be easy enough to figure out. We've figured it out fine. We've done just fine ever since the survival circle started. We have had only a couple of minor problems. And I am not going to sit down and write rules word for word and run a bunch of people off. But I will start running to beat a bunch of people off if they can't conduct themselves in a civil and respectful manner. That shouldn't be too hard for you to figure out. We can kind of self-police our ranks here. Links that go to regular news stories that are important and timely and maybe even urgent. I don't see anything wrong with those. Anyway, that's enough. We ought to be able to figure it out from there. So, thank you guys very much for joining me, and we have done very well for a long time. With the Survival Circle Network, there's not going to have to be any big changes made. We just had a couple of minor problems and needed to just a little refresher of how we should conduct ourselves there. So, with all that being said, I'm going to get out of here. I'm reminding you also that Amy or I, neither one will be on tomorrow. I'm sorry about that. I might be able to get Tink to throw us on a couple of archives, but we won't be on. And of course, Amy won't be on Wednesday. That's her regular night off. I will be here Wednesday. Friday, I'm pretty sure we're going to be out of town, but I should be able to still be on. We'll let you know when it gets a little closer to the end of the week. So, I'm going to make every effort to be on Friday night. So, okay, that's it. We're out of here. We'll see you guys. I will see you Wednesday. Thanks for joining me. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for The Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. That's freedom.